Good morning. My chair shrunk somehow or another, and it's raised now. It's good to have Bob back with us. We've missed him so very, very much, and it's good to see each and every one of you here. I have breakfast with George just about every Thursday. And he is the man that I call the smartest, one of the smartest men I know and the dumbest men I know. But what I wanted to say is the first time Patrick preached, George told me, he said, boy, he's a good preacher, indicating that he was better than me. And so every time that Patrick's going to preach, I tell him, your favorite preacher's preaching tomorrow. Somebody asked me one time which I considered the best preacher here. When Patrick's preaching, I believe Patrick is. When John's preaching, I believe John is. When Jordan's preaching, I believe Jordan is. When I'm preaching, I believe I am. And the reason why I say that is I've heard a lot of preachers. I know these men's hearts. And so, you've got a real treat coming this month. I'm not going to be preaching anymore except today. And the reason why is because next week it's Patrick's turn. And the next week, Blake is going to be here and he's going to preach. And then the next week, Jordan's preaching. But I know these men's hearts, and I want to tell you, they're all great preachers. So, we'll get on with the lesson today, so I'm going to preach about, it's fellowship. I don't know whether anybody understood that I was preaching on fellowship or not, but I am. Fellowship, I think, is one of the most misunderstood topics there is. And I'm preaching on basic things that we need to know. Many times people will say, you know, after church, we're going to go and have fellowship. And I understand in the world that the use of the word fellowship means getting together and enjoying one another. But today I want to talk to you about Bible fellowship, about what it really means to be to have fellowship. And I will not be able to expound upon this enough today, but we'll get a brief idea about it. I guess I better turn this thing on. So he says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's something that is called fellowship, and we have been called into that fellowship, and that fellowship is with Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in this, we need to understand what fellowship is. And I ask the question, first of all, is how important is it for us to understand fellowship? And this can be judged if it's important enough, if the subject is a doctrinal issue, then it becomes something that should be taught. And this certainly has been one that has even divided the church at places, and therefore it's important enough that we ought to talk about it. And second, if much space is devoted to it in the scriptures, then we ought to be interested enough because it is important that we talk about it. Even if something is only mentioned one time, it's important, but when it's mentioned over and over, we ought to really consider whether we ought to talk about it. And then, if a subject has become highly controversial, and this is one of the most controversial subjects that there is in the brotherhood, And the English word fellowship is used 18 times in the New Testament. I'm just giving you facts here. And it's translated from koinos, meaning common. And what we are reading from is 12 times. I don't know why it does that. I can't even find it now. I am so sorry. Patrick's just a better preacher than me.
I'd be lost up there too.
Only thing I know to do is this. I apologize to you, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Well, that didn't do it. Huh? I've got it right here on my desktop, if I can ever get it. I don't know why this did this.
What is it up top under Doc? June 4th?
I don't know where it's at. Where? Somebody come and help me. What are you looking for?
Keynote.
Huh?
You're on Keynote, right?
Yes, it's on Keynote. Jordan just became the best preacher here. So the word koinonia is the word that I want to talk about today. And really, basically, it has to do with joint participation. That we are entered into something, and it is joint participation. In the English word, it is communion. For example, when we have the communion, we are in fellowship. And we're in fellowship with the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. But we're in fellowship with one another as we are partaking of that. Whenever we communicate, when we communicate about the Lord and share in the things about the Lord, we are in fellowship with that. And a sharer, and that is a sharer in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and sharing with one another in the gospel of Christ, we are in fellowship. We are a partaker. And when we talk about a partaker, we are partaking of all the benefits and all of us share in those benefits. We are partakers in that. When we talk about the contribution is we are putting into a joint fund and we are all sharing in the spending of that. Now, you can have fellowship that is wrong and you can have fellowship that is right. But I want you to know that everything that we do in the church, we are obligated to spend the money rightly, and we are in fellowship, and all of us are doing the same thing. If you find something unscriptural, you need to bring it out because you're not to fellowship with that which is wrong. We are to be partners. And being partners means that we have joined together. You remember many times I made up my own definition, and I read it later. Somebody else had made it up, so I made it up after they made it up. And so that is fellows in a ship, all rowing to the same destination with Christ at the helm. So that's kind of what we're talking about it. And Baker's Dictionary of Theology signs a fellowship. He says, one, it is mutual love, that you and I love each other, and that love is the agape love that really Jordan was talking about this morning, that we are going to do what's right for each other. We made up our minds that no matter what, and sometimes you are contentious, that I'm going to love you even at those times, and that we are in that kind of love with each other, and that is fellowship. And whenever we bear one another's burdens, that is fellowship. If we're talking about the burdens to help you become better in Christianity or come through the difficulties in life and help you to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and find comfort in that. And we are in unity, that is the common faith, the faith that was given as we read in Jude 3, and I'm not going to preach that again, but in Jude 3 we have a common salvation. And then later on these expressions of fellowship is given, and here they are. A student shares in the material needs of the preacher. So whenever you are praying me every week, you are in fellowship with me, and I in fellowship with you because I am receiving it and recognizing what it's for, and that is for the gospel of Christ. And then a church supports its minister, and whenever this congregation supports me, we are in fellowship in that way. And a minister recognizes the cooperation of others and work of God's kingdom. So we recognize that the others are sending. For example, we have at times supported other preachers in other places. And by the way, we are looking for somebody to help support, one that we find worthy to receive that support. And churches unitedly help another a needy church, and I don't mean that you send the money to the church, but rather you send to the elders there because they could not fulfill all of their responsibility, and therefore we are helping to take care of the needs of that congregation. And Christians spontaneously share their wealth with other Christians. So whenever I give to you and share my wealth with you in the gospel way, we are in fellowship. And Christians assemble continually in worship to God. And we are in fellowship, I understand, today as we are here in this. So I'm just trying to give you the idea here. And they pray for one another. And I don't pray that you get a bicycle or a pony or any of that. I pray for you to grow closer to the Lord. And I pray always that you remain faithful. Even when you're on a deathbed, I do not pray that you get well. I pray that you stay faithful. So, now we can draw some conclusions, and this is where I wanted to start. Activities or attitudes. It all begins with an attitude. If I'm really going to be in fellowship, I have to have the right attitude that I'm going to come to you with, and that I'm going to go to God with. First, the word is always used in the New Testament to refer to spiritual activities. I want that to rest in your mind. I hear people sometimes say we're going to go outside and have fellowship. Fellowship is spiritual, and the activities that we are doing is spiritual. The one exception is in Luke 5:10, where two brothers are in partnership in a boating business or a fishing business. But it really doesn't change anything. Christian fellowship never, and I want you to get this in your mind as you look at all the passages in the Bible, never refers to social or recreational activities. Did you get that? It never refers to that. And yet, that is the most common use that there are in churches today. When a church or a group of Christians get together for games, coffee, and sandwiches, whatever they do, right or wrong, is not New Testament fellowship. My wife has some of you over, or sometimes she'll say, let's have the whole congregation, meaning the people, come over for a potluck. That is not fellowship. The church does not serve barbecues. That is not what we're about in fellowship. It is not chicken cooking. Sometimes people say, when I hear fellowship, I can smell the chicken cooking. That is not fellowship. If I can get that one point across, then I have accomplished a great deal today, because it is spiritual things that we're interested in. Now, because of spiritual things, we may enjoy a lot of physical things. But it's because we are spiritually united together and spiritually do things together. So it is not a fellowship hall. You do not build a fellowship hall. And people say, well, I disagree with that. And my answer to that is, I don't care whether you disagree with it or not. I do not believe the church has the authority to build a fellowship hall. This is not a fellowship hall. This is the fellowship that you and I have. We can do it under a tree. We can do it in the park. We can do it wherever the church decides to go. That's where we go to have fellowship. We are coming together to praise the Lord together because our hearts are united together to reach up to God. There must be a mutuality. And when I say that, fellowship always implies mutuality. I cannot fellowship you if you will not fellowship me. That's just an impossibility. So you say, well, you're not using a lot of scripture. My first one let it off. We could have a whole scripture, all of them. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just simply saying I want us to understand this concept that I cannot fellowship if you will not fellowship me. We have to be in fellowship with one with another. And even true with God and us. If he doesn't fellowship me, I can't fellowship him. If I don't fellowship him, he cannot fellowship me. In 1 John 3:1-6, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Now I want you to notice that the starting place of fellowship is our fellowship with the apostles that revealed what Jesus wanted us to do. We have to come into fellowship with the apostles. And he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And sometimes it says that our joy may be full. You have to figure out which one that is. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So fellowship is dependent upon you walking in the light and me walking in the light. And if either one of us do not walk in the light, we are not in fellowship with God. We may think we're in fellowship with each other, but the true fellowship is not with the Father and the Son. So we do not want to fellowship anything that is out of darkness. We want to fellowship those that are in light, and I believe that all of you are in light, and that's why I believe that we're in fellowship, is because I believe your heart has been attuned to God. And since your heart is attuned to God and my heart is attuned to God, I think that we all will listen to what the apostles said as being what Jesus said. God gives us the truth, and we obey it, and that's fellowship. Did everybody get that? God gives us what he wants, and we obey it. Why is everybody coming in now? We render him service, and he blesses us. That's fellowship. If I can get this into your minds, it will take us away from this denominational concept of what fellowship is. Fellowship exists when we obey, not working our own righteousness, but working his righteousness. I had a discussion this week, and somebody said that there was more to getting people than just the gospel of Christ. If there is more to getting people than the gospel of Christ, we will get nobody. Because the gospel of Christ is the only way that you get people. Amen. Now, I guarantee that we will have it full if I can convince people that we have found the finger of Jesus and it's on display here. We can get a whole bunch of people to come in to see that finger. Now, we can't get them to come in to see the body of Christ, but we can get them to come in to see that finger. Aren't people strange? Without mutuality, there is no real fellowship. It cannot exist, period. And this means that we have a great responsibility. My responsibility, your responsibility. It requires a moral responsibility. For us to be in fellowship, you have to have a moral responsibility. The actions of one partner, get this. The action of one partner are binding upon every member if we're in fellowship. Now let me tell you, I am not saying, I want to be clear, because people say after I preached that I said this and I didn't. I'm not saying that we have to agree upon everything. I am saying that what we do as the church, we must agree upon to be in fellowship. Is that clear? I just want everybody to understand that. What we do as the church, you are a part of that. And if we are sending money somewhere to somebody, you need to know whether that is scriptural for us to do, and you are a partner in it because you're a member of this congregation. And therefore, what we do as a congregation, you do as a member. Is that clear? Okay. Whatever the church does together is joint participation. And all, even though a member does not participate, is in fellowship with that. They automatically get caught up. If this church is doing something unscriptural, they are in that unscriptural activity if the church is doing it. And if we are doing what is right with God, you are in fellowship in that which is right. So you can be in fellowship with that which is right, and you can be in fellowship with that which is wrong. You are responsible in this congregation. In Ephesians 5:11, he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So if my understanding is correct, that every member here is to look at truth and say that which is not truth, we will expose. We will not allow that to come into the congregation. That's every person's responsibility. I was referred to not very long ago as being the shepherd of this flock. I am not the shepherd of this flock. And yet I think all of us should look as shepherds would to protect the church. If I enter into fellowship with the local congregation, whatever they do as a church, I'm also included. We have to be object-oriented. Fellowship always has a sympathetic object. Fellowship is with something or someone. You cannot have fellowship if there's not something to have fellowship with or someone to have fellowship with. Fellowship is not a solo act. It is something that I'm participating. I can be in fellowship with God, Christ, and so on. Beginning fellowship is with the Godhead. And that is accomplished, as he has said, that we go through what they're teaching and come up to that. We have fellowship with each other in the congregation. I do not know of anybody here in this congregation that is a member of this congregation that I'm not in fellowship with. Now, if you'd withdraw your membership, that still doesn't mean that we're not in fellowship. Unless you withdraw your fellowship from us. Do you follow that? If you leave in this congregation and go to another congregation, I believe that we're in fellowship, although we are not working together as congregations. Our goal is still the same towards our Heavenly Father. With the gospel, poor saints, suffering for Christ, a new covenant, a divine nature, the body and blood of Christ, we share in all of these things. If we recognize that we share, then we take a responsibility for ourselves that we are a part of that, and we are doing that with the other people. It has to be a shared activity. Fellowship usually judged by its results, and when I say that, generally employed by what is done instead of what it merely exists. What are we doing together? And people say, well, I'm not doing anything with you. Well, then you need to consider whether you're really in fellowship. Fellowship requires that we are doing something. When we come in and shake hands, whenever we come in and recognize each other, we're here paying attention to the gospel of Christ, and we are learning and sharing with one another. Like faith, it's a noun that is practiced. Faith is more than just saying, I have faith. It means you have to do something. And what is that we have to do if we have faith? We have to obey. We have to obey if I have faith. And whenever I say I have fellowship, it means that I am working in partnership with you, and we know that we're in partnership, and we both know our obligation that we are doing and what we are doing. Is this making sense? John, is it making sense? Okay. I'm not out to get a big applause. I'm out to get an agreement of what fellowship is. That's my whole point in this thing. It is dependent upon walking in the light, as I said when we started. To walk in the light means that God is directing our lives. If you remember, a congregation has the right to accept or withhold fellowship from other people. I think it's Acts 9 that the Apostle Paul wanted to join himself with a congregation in Jerusalem. They would not have him because they were afraid of him. And Barnabas went and testified that he was one of them, and they accepted him in fellowship. Pooling our money for scriptural use. I knew of a congregation that separated, and one of the members said, well, I want all my money back. Let me tell you something. When you put that money in the collection plate, it becomes the collection of the saints in that area that's to be spent the way that God wants it to be spent. That's why you need to find out, are we spending our money correctly? And if not, we need to make the change. Whatever the church does together, whether right or wrong, is fellowship. Can the church have a potluck? Yes. but it's wrong. And we don't want to be in the wrong. We are not about eating and drinking physical things. We are about enjoying the things of God together and procuring what we ought to procure for Him. So the basis of scriptural fellowship is dependent on each walking in the truth. And if I find that you're not walking in the truth, is it my obligation to tell you? Now, do not misunderstand me here. Just because I believe something doesn't mean you have to believe the same thing. But what we believe about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so on, we must be in agreement with before we can have fellowship. There is no fellowship if you believe in another Christ, if you believe in another Lord, if you believe in another church. There is one church. And I'm not talking about Port Hueneme. I'm talking about in the whole. Am I a member of that one church? And is the congregation where I'm attending, is it paying attention to what is binds us together? And if not, we can't be in fellowship. 2 John 4, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And do you know what that means? That means some were not walking in the truth. I am happy about those walking in truth. So that means that you and I, if we're going to fellowship each other, have to agree that we're going to walk in the truth. In John, 2 John 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, and truth and love. So once again, he's saying, this is what we're talking about in fellowship. This same writer who spoke of walking in the light as the basis of fellowship. So a careful analysis of walking in the light requires several things. A right attitude towards sin and righteousness. Now people over here, some people say, you know what? I think this is sin. I think this is sin. I think this is sin. Don't tell me what sin is unless you can prove it. And don't tell me what righteousness is unless you can prove it. We sometimes think, well, you know, I don't do this and I don't do that. We end up doing nothing. The truth is, the scriptures define what sin is. And just because we want to put something into a category. In fact, when I was in Georgia, a fellow came to me and said that he just believed I was sinning because I dressed up every Sunday and didn't have overalls on. You can go ahead and believe that. We can't have fellowship because I don't believe it's a sin. In 1 John 8, through 2:2. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the whole world. I want you to recognize none of us are perfect. And we are very forgiving. I pray to God that we are very forgiving. And we should not get on our righteous clothes and do not think that we do not sin. But I want to say this. We are not considered as sinners by the Word of God. People say we are all sinners. We are not all sinners because our sins are forgiven if we are right, if we are walking right. Keeping the Lord's commands, by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says that I know Him but does not keep His commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way. You've got the idea of the lesson, don't you? Loving brethren, while not loving the world, is one of the things that we do. So I'm not going to go on further there. I'll just move it quickly. I had a lot more to talk about, but I've noticed something that is a very sad thing. God gives Patrick more time than I do. So I'm out of time. You get the idea, and if you get the idea, then you've got the message. And if you've got the message, then let's love one another and let's stay in the fellowship of Christ. Let's stay in the fellowship and enjoy each other in that fellowship as we enjoy Jesus Christ. If you're here today and have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, why don't you come, recognizing that God loves you with all of his heart, that he has given his son to die upon the cross of Calvary for you, that you realize that he is the Son of God, that you believe with all of your heart that he is the Son of God, and that you repent and turn to him and let him direct you. Change your mind about your conduct and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Won't you come together as we stand?